The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
We're talking about the pubs this morning. Phase four. It's not happening. The pubs are not reopening. It's a blanket ban, much to the annoyance of publicans and their customers. But there is a logic to what the government is saying, even though it can be lost in the emotion surrounding this. And lots of people have been getting in contact, both agreeing and disagreeing with the decision. Some saying that we are living in a nanny state, and some saying that it's obvious that we have to do this to prevent the virus from getting a grip, a foothold in the country again. Two texts that have come through. Jonathan, according to you, nothing should open up. Let's close everything up and see what happens to our economy. There are very few cases here. Just get on with it. See, I disagree with you because when I was on my staycation, lots of things were open. We had a great time. And there's, despite the rain, there's people having a great time on their staycation here. They're enjoying the level of open that we have right now. And we know from international experience, from the professional people, not me. I'm just talking out of my backside like you are, Texter, with due respect. The international experience and the medical advice is that nightclubs, pubs, closed environments are COVID-19's best friend. And that's why pubs are in the situation that they're in. Nightclubs, theatres, and people aren't talking enough about theatres being closed. All of these things are just designed for the spread of this virus. And that's why the restrictions are in place. I don't want to see everything closed. Don't be stupid. I'm a business owner. This is a little bit of a hobby for me, if you want to call it that. I have a business, and that business does well when the Irish economy does well. So of course I want businesses to open. Of course I want the economy to be as normal as it can be. But right now, that's not possible, and it's no one's fault except the blooming virus. Another texter says, open the pubs and send in priests to control social distancing. They are experts in the field, says Alan Drumcondra. I'm not sure that would be the solution that would be put forward by the Licensed Vintners Association, but on the line now we have got the chairman of the LVA. He is the owner of the Swan Pub, a famous pub in Dublin city centre. Ronan Lynch, good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan.
There is frustration, there's a little bit of anger, there is annoyance, and it's all understandable that you would have those feelings, but is there an understanding in some way, shape or form as to why the decision that was taken by Neffet yesterday was taken?
I think just people are just disappointed with the government announcement yesterday and the way the whole thing has been handled. I mean, we are closed here for, you know, going to be closed for 46% of the year, 3,500 pubs, 22,000 jobs, and Neffet is there's no plan in place from the government to deal with the closure here. We've been calling for a plan for weeks, and there's a huge uncertainty there for the publicans, the staff, the suppliers and all their families. It's just a crazy situation we find ourselves in, and there's no kind of joined up thinking on this. If they want the pubs to close, they need to put in a support package immediately, because it's just not good enough for all these people that are depending on the pubs being open at this stage.
And for the record, I think you're dead right. I think that they were caught with this yesterday. They'd anticipated that the pubs would open, but then when it turns out they couldn't because of the numbers in the previous couple of days, they didn't have plan B. And the plan B is to keep your industry on life support financially in some shape or form and keep your staff with money in their pocket. Is that the biggest grievance that you have, Ronan, is that the certainty that you need for your business isn't there?
Yeah, but like we've been calling for this for weeks. We've been calling for dialogue. We've been calling to, if they are going to close us, they need to put the plan in place. And there's just nothing coming at all from the government. Like, we are closed since the 14th of March in my case, and most of the guys closed on the 15th of March. It's just absolutely crazy that we're being treated in this manner. It's just crazy for such an industry that plays a key role in Irish society and, you know, for the Irish tourism market. And we're just treated like this, just totally cast aside, cast adrift and left with nothing. Nothing. Like, we're staring into the unknown here. We're going to be another 3 weeks. God knows where it is then. It's just a crazy, crazy situation for the government to leave us in at this stage. And they're all off on their holidays. We're all sitting down, scratching our head. Where am I going to be in 3 weeks' time? Where are the 22,000 jobs, the 3,500 businesses going to be in a couple of weeks' time? We need certainty, and we need government decisions, and we need a mature conversation about this, because it's not good enough.
The temporary wage subsidy scheme. Yeah, the TWSS, which is...
Look,
Let me make my point, right? My point is that's going down on the 1st of September anyway,
exactly.
In the anticipation that a lot of businesses will have started up. If your business remains closed, do you think it's fair that you will go from €350 for your staff and your colleagues and indeed yourself down to €203?
No, I don't think it's fair. In a word, I don't think that any of the support package that was put in place in the July stimulus is any way relevant to businesses that have been closed for this period of time. Like, we're the first hit, the hardest hit, we're closed the longest, and we don't know where the future lies for us. And we need, as I said, we need bigger support packages than the July stimulus. It's simply not good enough.
There's lots of people contacting the programme this morning. It's publicans contacting the programme saying, look, we're going to have to start getting takeaways to send in food. And what we're going to have is a half-arsed system whereby some pubs will try and reopen by serving what, and we all know the definition of a substantial meal. One man's substantial meal is another man's gruel. But do you think there's a real chance now that some of your members will start to try and do that, to bring in the takeaway food just to get open and to get customers across the threshold of the premises?
I think they will. I think they definitely will look at it. It's not something that we'd all advocate, but it's something they look at. I think that they'll go with what the food-led pubs did in Phase 3. I think they operate a controlled space with social distancing, and the guidelines that were in Phase 3 will all be adhered to, and they'll just have a go at it because it's desperation times. Their backs are against the wall, and they need to make money because otherwise their businesses are going to go to the wall.
But if they do that, they're doing it in the worst possible circumstances. They're doing it because it's the only way they can get open. And as a result, then, are they going to implement the rules as properly as they would if they were a restaurant?
Of course they would, yeah. They would operate within the Phase 3 thing, like the Phase 3 guidelines that were issued to all the food-led pubs. They would do that, which it's their opportunity. They can do it if they want and try it if they want. I don't know whether it's the best thing to be doing, but I'd say a lot of people will have a crack at it because, as I said to you, it's just desperation times for them at this stage.
Was the mistake that was made, Ronan, that they allowed the food serving pubs to reopen in Phase 3 and left everybody else to Phase 4? Would it have been better to keep everybody closed and open them at the same time, or did we make an error, do you think, in Phase 3?
I think the error we made was not getting everything open up in Phase 3. Because quite clearly, as we can see from Phase 3, the pubs that have opened up in Phase 3 have operated to the guidelines. The staff have been trained, the customers have bought in, the guidelines have been respected, and it's been backed up by Garda reports. So really, the real smart thing to do would have opened all hospitality in Phase 3. That's what we should have done. But there was no error made. I think the error was made not opening the whole thing.
And all of your understandable annoyance aside at the way this has been handled and everything, do you still accept the fact that, as I said at the start of the programme, your premises, fantastic pub that it is, if there are people there, and even with your best intentions, they don't respect the social distancing rules that you have asked them to respect, that it is the perfect environment for COVID-19 to spread?
No, I wouldn't think that. I think because if we operate within the guidelines that are put there in front of us that have been endorsed by the Fáilte Ireland, I think that we can operate our environment safely. And as I said, this has been all...
Don't get me wrong. I'm not questioning that. I think that you've got the best of intentions going in there. And if you could follow the rules exactly, you could. The problem isn't you. The problem is your customers. And you know, some of your customers are loyal, valued friends of yours, and you know they do the right thing. And then you'd have a load of yahoos coming in who wouldn't do the right thing, and they might put everybody at risk. That's the problem here. It's not the pubs. It's not what you might do. It's what your customers might do, and the differing opinions we have in society about what is right and what isn't.
Yeah, well, I think, like, first of all, like, we are used to handling these situations all the time. And I think people have a misconception out there. The pub will never be the same again. Like, the pub that we open up, when we do get the opportunity to open up, will be a complete different animal from the one we closed on the 15th of March. So I think people, it'll be a totally different system. And if we operated, say, in the Phase 3 structure that we're given, I think you would have an opportunity. People wouldn't just be walking in off the street. It'd be very, very, it's a very, very controlled environment, Jonathan, that we're opening up here. Because we have to be, because we have to ensure the safety of our staff and all our other customers too. So we don't want that kind of environment, and it's not really, people will walk if they're not happy with the environment you're going to open up your pub in. So the customers will walk if they're not happy with what we're opening up.
What do you want to do now, Ronan? You heard the Taoiseach yesterday saying he can't give any guarantees that in 3 weeks' time the pubs will be allowed to open. you need to get in and speak to the minister right now, the Minister for Health, presumably, as well as the Minister for Business. Have any sign of those meetings happening? Have you formally requested them at this point?
We've put in place that we will like to meet Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath to discuss the support plan for pubs. And obviously that would be broadly taking in the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, as well, to discuss it with him as well. Because we need a plan here. It's just not good enough. It's simply not good enough for everybody here who's depending on it. And I mean, there's a massive amount of jobs that depend on pubs, that, you know, guys doing refrigeration, all the musicians, you know, all these people that kind of people don't think about, that supply into pubs that have to be looked at. There's a massive implications if the pub industry is just cast aside. We need action, and we need a plan to get us, and we need a conversation to happen as soon as possible. Waiting until the budget is not good enough. We need it now, because we're closed 20 weeks and it's going to be 20, you know, 46% of the year moving forward. It's just not good enough. 24 weeks closed is not good enough.
Okay, Ronan, look, it's a difficult situation for you, all your public and colleagues, the 30,000 people who work directly in pubs as well, the Swan Pub in Dublin City Centre. Ronan Lynch, thank you very much for joining us. Also on the line, we've got the Assistant Professor in the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College Dublin. He's also a neurologist and a molecular biologist, Dr. Tomás Ryan. You're welcome to Newstalk. Thanks for joining us, Tomás.
Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good. You are amongst the group that is advocating for a zero COVID policy. First of all, you might explain to us what that is, and then explain to us why it is slipping away from us, the possibility we might get to that.
I'd like to start, if I may, by saying I agree with very much of what Ronan Lynch has just said, and I have to say I greatly sympathize. I think that it's obvious that the hospitality sector is on the front lines of how we're dealing economically with COVID-19. And it's obvious that the government and we as a society need to support them. That includes, in my view, keeping up sizable COVID-19 payments. Because I think how we treat the hospitality sector will serve as a precedent for how we treat everyone else if this pandemic gets worse. Hospitality sector are on the front lines in terms of their economic exposure, but we may find that other sectors of the society find themselves in similar positions if we don't get a hold of this. So how we treat people who are under duress right now will say a lot about us in the future. Now, how do we get out of this situation? The reality is that health and the economy are on the same side, and they have been throughout this, despite noises made by certain people who like to pit health and the economy against each other. Some of my colleagues and I are advocating for a zero COVID island approach, where we would aim for the effective elimination of COVID-19 from Ireland. And the reason that we want to do this is not primarily for health reasons. It is for health reasons. That's a bonus. We would have less infections, less mortalities, and less morbidities. But primarily, we see a zero COVID island as being a situation of economic enablement and of social enablement. Because if we get to zero community transmission in Ireland, we can open things up 100%. And Jonathan, it's really important to understand that when voices in the media or in politics or the lobby groups are saying we need to live with the virus, what they actually mean when they say live with the virus is not open up the economy. What they in reality mean is what we're doing right now. What we're doing right now is living with the virus, and it's not going to get much better than this. In fact, we're slipping backwards, and we need to open the schools.
So, it sounds like a tremendously good idea that we get to a zero COVID society, and we would love it. Let's face it, that's the dream right now for Irish people. But we share a border with another country. Well, depending on your perspective, but there is part of the United Kingdom on this island, and they can move freely from England, Scotland, Wales to Northern Ireland, and can come right into here. So there's no point in being an island if we're technically attached to another island that may not have a zero COVID strategy.
So the fact of Northern Ireland is being used as a tool to shut down this discussion whenever it starts. But the reality is today that Northern Ireland are ahead of us on this situation, not only in terms of their overall case numbers, but over a week ago, the cross-party health committee in Northern Ireland almost unanimously backed a zero COVID policy in Northern Ireland, as Scotland has leading from the top, Nicola Sturgeon is also backing a zero COVID Scotland. And they and others are lobbying for zero COVID Britain at the same time, though Britain has a longer journey ahead of us. So actually, the Republic of Ireland is behind Northern Ireland. Mm. And there will be no difficulty in my mind in having an all-Ireland approach to this situation.
Okay, to get to that holy grail, though, Tomás, we would have to go back into a hard lockdown, wouldn't we?
Not necessarily. Now, it's interesting that when you talk to most people, and I've talked to a lot of people in the hospitality sector, just personally, and I don't think that the people who are representing them through lobby groups are really representing their opinions, because when you're a small business owner, your job is to look around the corner. Your job is to think, how is my business going to survive in the next 6 months? And the reality is that most business owners and community leaders, and a great many of the people working in this sector, understand that the worst thing that can happen to them is a second surge. And so they are actually willing to tolerate, a lot of them, a defined, short, sharp lockdown if it's a necessary means to get to a zero COVID situation. But we don't necessarily have to do it that way. I would personally prefer to see a strategy where we don't engage in an unnecessary hard lockdown. I would prefer to see a strategy where we hunt the virus from the island. And this can be done if we aggressively improve our test trace isolation infrastructure, which, by the way, currently is not even adequate. And not to put too fine a point on it, but if the current outbreaks spin out of control in the next couple of weeks, it will not be primarily because of citizens' behavior. It will be because our test trace and isolation infrastructure never got fast enough to contain the spread of COVID-19. If we want to get to a zero COVID situation, we would need to beef it up substantially, where we're searching, we're not just responding, but we're searching for COVID-19 in the population. And this should be, in my mind, combined with a green zone strategy. And a green zone strategy would mean that if your county or if your designated zone had no community transmission for a 2-week period, that if you were, say, in Kerry or Waterford or Mayo, that that region would essentially open up to 100% capacity.
Okay. Not just pubs, but schools. Hang on. I hate to put a pin in the balloon there, but we're a rather porous country. I can get into my car right now, God forbid if I had COVID, go to Kerry and spread it like wildfire because they've got 100% open and I've brought it in by simply driving across the border. You'd have to lock down county borders, which is nigh on impossible to do.
I don't think anyone would be proposing hard borders between counties or anything like that, except you may have targeted local lockdowns in densely populated regions where you have, if you have a significant outbreak. But the idea would be you would reduce travel between these counties, as we did do during the lockdown with 2-kilometer, 5-kilometer limits. And Jonathan, this would be for, you know, a defined period of time. I'm not saying we would separate counties for years. It would be a period of months, just as a non-lockdown way of getting rid of the virus. Mm.
Do you think that schools are going to reopen, Tomás? Because we've seen an escalation in the number of cases. We know we can explain some of them through clusters that are in meat facilities or direct provision centres and possibly crossover between them. But there are community transmission cases that are being documented as well. Will the schools reopen at the end of this month, do you think?
My own prediction is the schools will reopen. I don't think that's a controversial opinion because I think it's politically impossible for the government not to reopen the schools. The question is, will the schools be open in October? And this is where I think that we need to start looking at everything from a regret minimization framework. What can we do now to prevent things really spinning out of control, which I'm concerned is happening? We allowed ourselves to be distracted by going on where we could go on holiday by the green list. We spent a month talking about this. We're going to be talking about pubs now for the next week or two. It's important, but it's a distraction. The real problem is not stage four or when can we enter stage four. The real problem is stage three is not working. 2 weeks ago, Australia was in the situation that we're in today. We need to completely reevaluate our strategy. And we need to figure out, what is it that we want? Do we want to live with the virus? And if we do, we need to level with people. And we need to say that living with the virus means a really reduced economy for the next couple of years at least. Or we can properly reopen the economy. And then we need to figure out, what is the infrastructure that we need to deliver this?
Dr. Tomás Ryan of Trinity College Dublin, for that sobering commentary. Thank you very much for joining us. 53106, the number for your text messages. Let us know what you think. Could we get to that zero COVID policy? Is it realistic? I mean, we've got the likes of Dr. Ryan and Dr. Gabriel Scally who are putting this forward, eminent in their fields. There are lots of different opinions, lots of competing interests. The only goal we all want to get to is having no COVID anymore. But